The average cost for a pet grooming visit in our region, $80 to $100. Great to be with you. I've had four-legged family members my entire life, dogs, and I know exactly what it costs. More importantly, the struggle to keep your pet's fur mess-free, tangle-free. Hands down, the most effective grooming tool in use by veterinarians and pet groomers across the country. This gently removes loose hair, mats, and tangles and creates a soft, smooth, and shiny fur in minutes. It's an adjustable comb. And compared to your typical ordinary pet grooming comb, this adjustable design makes grooming work simpler, effortless, and much more comfortable. They basically get a massage. There's no pulling. There's no scratching. This gets it done. And more importantly, with an anti-slip hand grip, you can get it done much faster while protecting your pet. At under $35, you can find this item, which is not a paid product, on our website, where I have you covered your biggest savings in Northeast Ohio. Back to you.
A couple of the news stories we're following for you this morning with our Bill Zimfer on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill, good morning. Let's talk trade first. Us, China, Mnuchin on his way. Wall Street's watching, listening. What do we need to know?
This is a high-level contingent that's going to China, Bill. Good morning. Led by Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, but the contingent also includes Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, Commerce Secretary Wilbert Ross, Trade Advisor Peter Navarro, and Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow. They'll be in China to talk trade. So what's going to come out of this? Well, the United States may get some concessions. China may offer some concessions on easing restrictions, opening markets, and maybe agreeing to buy more U.S. goods to reduce the trade deficit. But the reports we're getting, Bill, is that China is ready to push back on the two big demands from President Trump, that they cut the trade deficit by $100 billion and hold off on a $300 billion Chinese economic plan to upgrade advanced technologies. The fear is that China is looking to control the world market on high-tech industries, and it's all going to be financed by the government. So some pretty tough negotiations here.
Now, I want to lead in. This is just you and I with a lot of speculation, though, in North and South Korea, because China has to be doing something behind the scenes to help in this effort. They may remind us of that at the trade negotiations. And talk to me about North and South Korea. What's new?
Well, we do know, by the way, that China's foreign minister is in North Korea right now to speak with representatives there. So, yes, they do have input on anything coming up. But it's starting to look more and more, Bill, like the DMZ will be the location for any summit with President Trump and Kim Jong-un. And we may get an announcement on a date within the next week or so. Advisors had been telling the president that he could not do that because it concedes just too much to go to Kim's turf and meet at the DMZ. However, the president suggested that this week, so all of a sudden now advisors are reassessing, and it's starting to look like the DMZ could be the spot.
It seems like Trump wants that photo op. I don't think it's going to be the Berlin Wall coming down when this thing happens. You know, North may run to South to get something to eat. I mean, there may be something like that.
Yeah, well, you're right. He is concerned with the optics, and he liked the way things look. When Kim Jong-un met with Moon Jae-in, the South Korean president, he wants the same type of photo op at the DMZ, but it may send a dangerous signal for the president to travel all the way around the world to meet with Kim Jong-un on his turf.
Bill Zimfer on it this morning. Bill, thanks.
Yep.
Also today, President Trump scheduled to make remarks at a reception for the National Teacher of the Year, at least one of those educators, an Oklahoma Teacher of the Year, told the Education Secretary Betsy DeVos that her policies are hurting public education. Of course, a lot of teachers around the country have been protesting low pay and budget cuts and that sort of thing. So President Trump addressing teachers today on his schedule.
I feel raped. Raped, frightened, and sad. And it certainly is not a breach of medical trust to tell somebody they take Propecia to grow their hair. What's the matter with that?
As a standard operating procedure for a new president, the White House medical unit took possession of the president's medical records.
President Trump, I've got Michael Bauer to sort through this morning. Now, that was the voice, Dr. Harold Bornstein, the former physician for Trump. Was he the one that scratched out a note on a Marriott letterhead or something? Hey, the president's in great physical health. He'll live to be 200. Wasn't that the guy?
He He's the one who said that Trump's stamina and strength was extraordinary and that he would be the healthiest individual ever elected to the presidency. The only thing now is that Dr. Harold Bornstein is saying that he never wrote that. He technically, physically wrote it, but it was not his thoughts. It was not his ideas. In fact, he says that that letter that he wrote out and sent to the press and released was something that Trump had read out the language to him. He just simply wrote it down, dictated the letter from Trump. According to his reports, he and his wife were driving across Central Park when Trump called. He dictated that, and then they came and picked up their letter at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, so he's now saying some bodies came into my office, raided my office, and got all my records on Trump, too.
Yeah, that's one of the things that he seems to be the most concerned about at this point. And it makes a lot of sense. Technically, you have to request any medical records be sent. They're the property of the physician himself, not even the property of the person who is the patient for the doctor. They're the property of the physician. So that's why if you were moving offices, you'd have to request that information from your physician so that you can take it to your new doctor someplace else. In this particular case, it seems as though through a back entrance, there were a couple people, one of them being named as a Trump security person, came through and raided his office. Began just taking away all of the president's records from his office. He doesn't understand why, if there was just sort of, he was seeing Trump for propitia to hair loss medicine. He can't understand why this information had to be pulled in such a way that seemed relatively violent to him and scary to him.
So now we got propitia out there, at least. We got that in
now
the...
Now we got propitia out there.
It's in the public record. Michael Bauer with me. All right, a couple things else here. Stormy Daniels back in court this week?
You're going to see Stormy Daniels. She's officially set down lay down the gauntlet, if you will, based upon the tweet the president released after she released her sketch of the person she said intimidated her some years ago. The president then was the first comment the president made at all in regards to the Stormy Daniels matter, and said that it was a fake story to begin with from a fake individual, and they've now taken that and applied that to a defamation suit against President Trump. And this looks like it's something that is going to at least move forward, whether or not he can technically be sued for using Twitter as a possible presidential role, we've yet to see.
All right, and finally, the 50 questions, Robert Mueller, Trump, New York Times. I'm curious, did Trump's team leak this or Mueller's? Forget the questions for a minute. I'd like to know where they came from, you know?
Yeah, that seems to be the big report right now. The Washington Post reporting that this list of 49 questions was actually released by, according to reports, legal team of President Trump. It's not anything that Mueller did. This is what the legal team sort of got out of their conversations with Mueller, had these notes written down, took them with them, and then released this as actual questions, or at least seemingly actual questions, from Robert Mueller. Mueller's team saying there was no leak. This didn't come from them at all.
Trump saying it was disgraceful. The questions that they're out there. Okay, all right. Is that it for now?
I think that's it for now, Bill, I hope.
Call me back if there's something new.
You got it. Have a great morning.
You're the best. Thank you. Michael Bauer on the Trump Noise of the Morning on News Radio, WTAM 1100. 5:45, you get Mike Snyder Sports Mornings, 15 and 45 past. On News Radio, WTAM 1100. Okay, throughout the night, I'm thinking they're playing close. It's you know, they were down early, but okay, we lose game one, so what? And then they get a win.
Yeah, they do, Bill. You know, it's kind of like playing with house money now to get that first win. I think the Cavs with a quick turnaround, especially after going through that series with Indiana, that dramatic game seven. They were a 7-point underdog last night, and for much of the night, it appeared the odds makers had it right, but the Cavs showed some more toughness. They rallied from 14 down, forced the game into overtime, where they finally took a lead.
There's eight to shoot. He heads to his right, behind the back to Korver, fakes a three, steps to his right, fires a three. He knocks it down, and the Cavaliers have their first lead of the entire evening. Cavaliers 108, Raptors 105.
Cavaliers would go on to win at 113-112. They win on a night in which LeBron was just 12 of 30 from the field, 1 of 8 3-point shooting. Now, he did have a triple-double, 26 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists, but as he put it...
At the end of the day, the only thing that matters is trying to get a win, and my teammates are unbelievable tonight. They stepped up when I wasn't wasn't at my best.
J.R. Smith, the first Cav not named LeBron to score 20 points in a game, right at 20, and Kyle Korver hit 5 threes on his way to 19 points, as Kyle puts it.
Got to help him out, right? Like, he's playing a ton of minutes, he carries a big load, but this is how we play, and... It's not going to change.
And there were others. Jeff Green, his best game of the postseason with 16 points, and Tristan Thompson for the second straight game, a difference maker, 14 points, 12 rebounds. He helped slow down the Raptors' big man, Jonas Valanciunas. DeMar DeRozan had 22 for the Raptors, but the Cavs get game one, and considering their history, well, that's a huge win to get. Game two Thursday night at 6, and of course the scene will shift to the queue on Saturday. At Progressive Field last night, Tribune Rangers in the bottom of the ninth. Indians down 6-2. Two outs. Bases loaded, though. Michael Brantley at the plate.
Now the two-strike pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep right field. Away back. Gone. A game-tying grand slam by Michael Brantley.
But the Indians would not score again, and the Rangers would hit two home runs in the 12th inning, and they would get the win 8-6. As Terry Francona even put it, well, you get a grand slam like that, you're supposed to win.
You know, I sit here and I'll say it a lot of times, if we can get the tying run to the plate, we'll win some of those games. You know, once we got that tied, I felt like we were going to win. We're home, and we get the last at bat. Didn't work.
Absolutely. Last time the Indians had a ninth inning grand slam to tie a game was back in 1980. Toby Hera was the guy who hit it. Tribune Rangers will wrap up their series today at 1:10. Corey Kluber on the mound for the Indians, who, by the way, still lead their division by three games. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
And now, 5 good minutes.
Always enjoy visiting with Greg Stebbin. He writes on tech, culture, and just what's going on at Men's Health, so many other places. Follow him on Twitter, too, at Greg Stebbin. Morning, pal.
Hey, good morning.
Okay, I just did a Google search. I knew you'd be proud of me. On blockchain. I'm still not sure I understand it, but I know it's hot. What is this?
So we could spend an hour talking about blockchain.
I got five good minutes.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's not do that.
Right.
Essentially, I want you to think about blockchain this way.
Okay.
Remember the first time someone told you about this thing called the internet?
Yeah.
You kind of reacted the same way, probably. Like, what?
What? Okay, yeah.
So today, does the internet? Do you use the internet?
I just did to find out what blockchain was.
Thank you. I mean, you use it all the time, and you don't even think about it. You use it so much, right?
I mean, right.
The truth is, every time you pull out your phone, you're using the internet.
True, yeah.
And there's a million other ways a day you use the internet, and you don't think about it.
You're right. Okay.
The blockchain is going to have that same impact on the world around us.
Wow. Okay.
And you don't, just like you probably don't understand the internet, you don't really have to understand the blockchain. You just have to understand it's real, it's there, it's growing, its applications are multiplying, and not be afraid of it.
And
there was a time when a lot of people were afraid of the internet.
And they're looking for people, right?
Well, so one of the things that I find really interesting is what is the impact of this thing called blockchain growing the way it is in the world of business? And there's this headline over at Computer World, blockchain moves into top spot for hottest job skills. This, I mean, for all kinds of reasons, this is a very important story. One is, if you have kids, they should be learning about blockchain and cryptocurrencies. If you're in the labor market or thinking about changing jobs, learning about blockchain and cryptocurrency is a place you should go because it might create employment opportunities.
Okay, now wait a minute. Let me follow up. The internet was connecting to a computer, so I kind of began to understand that. You just said crypto with blockchain,
yes.
So we're going that way.
Oh, sorry.
Then, huh? Okay. No, I'm curious. Okay.
Yeah. So a blockchain is essentially, you know, when you use your credit card somewhere deep in banking land, somebody's keeping track of that transaction. Actually, a lot of people. I mean,
right.
The retailer,
right,
the clearinghouse,
right.
The credit card company,
right.
Your bank, their bank. Blockchain is really the same idea, except in the credit card scenario, a lot of people are making money along the way, and it's not you. In the blockchain world, that's a decentralized ledger system, so that nobody really owns it, which means that it can be harnessed for whatever mission you want it to have. So, for instance, I'm working with a company called Consumer Coin right now.
Okay.
It's a cryptocurrency.
Okay.
And the idea is that as consumers begin to use Consumer Coin, and by the way, when I say use cryptocurrency or Consumer Coin, just as when you started using the internet, it was kind of a weird thing, but then it became very natural.
Right.
There will be a point in a year or two where a cryptocurrency like consumer coin, you'll just use it like you use PayPal or like you use a credit card. Your grandmother will use it. She won't even think about it. She'll just go, "Oh yeah, I'm paying with consumer coin." So the idea of something like a consumer coin is, if you look at the world we live in, the money controls everything, and we as consumers never control the money. But we actually should, because the GDP of the United States is dominated 70% by our money, consumer money. So we should have our own form of currency that lets us control how the world of business operates, because we should be dominating it, since in numbers we do. We just can't do it as individuals. We have to do it as a group.
Interesting. Okay, now I got to get you out of here. But so again, for the rest of your day today, look up consumer coin and blockchain, and you'll kind of know more what Greg's explaining, and you'll know where you were the first time you heard about this.
And it'll be from you.
No, it's from you.
Oh, it's from me.
Greg
well,
Stebbins,
the two of us.
Follow him on something we call Twitter. If you don't know about that, we'll write me a letter and I'll explain it to you. Follow him on Twitter at Greg Stebbins.
Yes, snail mail to send that letter too.
Good stuff as always, Greg. Thanks. Have a good day.
It's great to be here.
Cavaliers update. Complete Cavaliers coverage brought to you by Huntington, one bank that believes in looking out for its customers. Welcome to Huntington. Selected first round, 86th draft by the Chicago Bulls at Ohio State. France, Spain, Israel. You hear him on postgame, of course, on the Cavs Network and with Mike Snyder. He is currently part-time job, the mayor of Warrensville Heights, and he hangs out with us once in a while, the incredible Brad Sellers. Did I cover everything?
You got it, Bill.
You got them mowers out?
All the boxes.
You got them mowers out in Warrensville Heights yet? We got to cut that grass, Mayor.
Birds out here chirping. We're out here moving. Everything's coming together. The sun is up in Cleveland.
It's always a beautiful day, isn't it?
Perfect.
All right. I am told the Cavaliers are wanted this morning in Toronto for stealing a win.
Without a doubt. You know, you could just see on the face of the Raptors down the stretch that they weren't sure that they could get a win against Cleveland. And I had seen that in the second half of the season, the last two games we played against the Raptors. And that same face materialized last night to our benefit.
And, Brad, it was great to see the supporting cast of LeBron's really step up last night, didn't they?
There was no question about it. I mean, we've been won this the entire series against the Pacers, and we got four additional guys to go in double figures, so we had five guys in double figures last night. Spread it around. LeBron was able to rest. He wasn't at his best last night, but he was more than effective. And then we put us in a position to close, and that's exactly what we did in overtime.
Key move, and I know you talked about it last night. Tristan Thompson comes into the game. Valanciunas was really having his way with the Cavs through three quarters. Tristan really came in for the second straight game. He gave this team a big lift, didn't he?
There's no doubt about it. Yeah, you saw it in the Game 7 against the Pacers on Sunday. And then I just had said, every time he had gotten to play, even though it was limited minutes, you could see out of everybody that was coming off that bench, he was a guy that had energy just about every time he came in. And last night he was able to, you know, I thought he was going to start, but he came. They brought him off the bench. And then when he got in the game, he was more than super effective. Slowed Valanciunas down, got us back to a rhythm, put Kevin Love back to his natural four position. It just worked out better for us in the end.
Now, Brad, it's one game. We know there's a ways to go. Toronto will come at the Cavs on tomorrow night with everything they have, but it's a great win, as you said. They're kind of in the Raptors' head. Now, for LeBron, major minutes. We know what he went through in the series with the Pacers. Says he's dealing with some sort of minor injury, which is why he left the game 7 for a while. Returned last night. What about watching him? We were talking about this earlier, you know, trying to get him a break here and there. What about that move, at least for tomorrow night?
Well, here's where we are. We have a chance. You know, you want to get a split when you're playing on the road. Now you got a chance to be greedy, Mike. Got a chance to get two games. And if you get two games, the pressure turns totally on Toronto. You got the second game tomorrow night. We'd have a chance really to try to close this thing in 4 or 5 games. And people were talking about I was crazy when I said 5 games. I said, no, this is how it swings. We have a chance. We could do that. LeBron can get the rest that's needed. We can prepare for the next series. We don't get too far ahead of ourselves, but last night was a big step in that direction.
113-112 overtime win. Brad Sellers' take on the Cavs. WTAM 1100. Thanks, Mayor.
See you guys.
Against Tom Hamilton in for a Falls Motor City on WTAM 1100. Morning, Hammy.
Good morning, Bill and Mike.
Okay, I was so happy for Michael Brantley. I mean, we know the history, what's happened, and he hit a grand slam in that situation last night. We all had a smile on our face.
Yeah, that was big. You know,
and proves again why the game is so incredible. You know, you're down to two outs and an 0-2 pitch, and it's still not over. And, you know, for anybody that wondered why the Indians brought Michael Brantley back, I would sure think that that's been answered by now, because he's simply one of the best players in the game. And, you know, he's just been tremendous for the Indians from the get-go. And again, remember, guys, you know, he didn't have a full spring training, so he's amazing.
Yeah, he really is so fun. What a great swing. And Tom, I guess, you get just a great moment like that, but they just couldn't score again. Even Tito lamented that fact afterwards. You get a hit like that, you feel you're going to win the game, don't you?
Yeah, you know, you really did. It was kind of one of those games where, you know, you almost felt like on Monday night, you know, you maybe shouldn't win that game. You know, you just hadn't played that great or whatnot, but they kept finding ways to come back. But to your point, too, you know, some way you got to find a way to win that game last night, and it kind of really takes away the moment for Michael. But, you know, it's just good to see him back. It's frustrating that, you know, the club's had some issues here. You know, late innings have hurt the Indians, but by the same token, they have for Texas, too. I think we see how it is for the other teams when they don't have a dominant bullpen, don't we? You just get your reminded again how important it is to dominate clubs late in games. And the Indians have been able to do that over the last 2-3 years. And, you know, this year with some absences, you know, you find out that boy, life on that other side isn't that much fun.
I hear you. And it really is a ripple effect. You know, you lose Andrew, and I know they're going to be very cautious with that. They want to make sure the hamstring is good when he does come back. But it is creating a ripple effect. And, boy, Tommy, you got a doubleheader tomorrow. They're a little thin back there. Those guys are kind of worn out, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And, you know, you've also got guys. I think the ripple effect that you talk about, Mike, is guys are pitching in different innings. Now, people might say that's not that big a deal, but there's a big difference in, you know, trying to get outs 25, 26, and 27 than it is in the seventh or eighth innings. And so you've got guys that are in different roles that maybe they're not accustomed to, or, you know, maybe they're a role that, you know, they're not going to thrive in. So it does have that ripple effect. I would be a little surprised if we don't see changes coming up, just because you might need that eighth man out of the bullpen. Now, I know Adam Plutko will be brought up yet tomorrow for one of the games to start, but you can only, you know, use or add one other guy for the doubleheader, and then you go to New York. So we know what that's like. So, yeah, I think stay tuned.
A lot of baseball between now and Sunday, pal. 1:10 first pitch today, the doubleheader tomorrow. Pace yourself, okay?
Hey, that's okay. We finally have great weather. We
love
it. We don't mind being outside now.
Well said. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, guys.